Good morning. Good morning. And good morning to this lot hiding round here. Hi. Great to see you. My theory is the further you sit away from the preacher, the more you need the message. And that includes hiding behind pillars. Brilliant. Wonderful. I love the fact that you've placed a very noisy door right by the front of the building so that if you come in late, we all know. So don't feel condemned if you were. That's fine. It's great to be here this morning. I was invited a few months ago to come and speak at a social club in Cirencester, and someone said to me, could you come and speak just in a couple of weeks' time? And I said, yes. And then she said, what are you going to speak about? And without giving it much thought, I said, how long do you get? They said, you get an hour. An hour? And I said, I'm going to do Vickers stand-up comedy. And she said, fine. And then I went home and thought, oh dear. And so I gathered together all the gags and stories that I had over years and turned it into, I didn't give them an hour, I gave them about 40 minutes. And they loved it. They loved it. Having a great time. They weren't from Essex, but that's the only accent I can do. They loved it. And at the end they said, could you come again? And I said, yes. The problem is I've used up all my jokes. I've got nothing left. I went again 2 weeks ago. I did manage to find some more, and that went well too. But anyway, but at the end of the first one, because I'd said I was coming again, this woman comes up to me afterwards. We were sitting at the front having a cup of tea in those, you know, those green teacups and saucers? You know what I mean? That only exist in certain halls and venues and community centres. Well, we had those. And so we were sitting drinking tea out of those. She came up to me and she said, I think it's the next slide on the thing. There's a PowerPoint somewhere with some pictures on. That's it. There we are. That's me. And she said, oh, I've got a joke for you for next time. You'll love this. So we sat down. I said, great. She said, like, I've got this joke. She said, there was this vicar. So she thinks, right, I'm a vicar, I'm a pastor, you'll like this joke. Okay, so it's a vicar joke. And I know there's a number of vicars in the room, so you can have this one. And she said, oh, there's this vicar. And he was going visiting round the parishioners. And he went to the house of an older lady in his church, and she was the one who played the music in the services. And so he was invited into her house and was taken into the living room, and what did she do next? What did she do when the vicar comes around? Put the kettle on. She went off to make the tea, absolutely, went off to make the tea, and then comes back. And so she's off there, and he's sitting in the living room and just looking around, waiting for her to come back with the tea and have a chat. And he's looking around, and in the lounge is the keyboard on which she practices. And he notices this, this woman's telling me this joke. Says she's really excited. She thinks I like this. He said, the vicar's sitting there, and he's looking around. He sees this keyboard on which she practices, and on top of it, there's a bowl. And the bowl's full of water, and the vicar notices that in the water is floating a condom. So she's telling me this, and I'm thinking, I'm not sure if I can use this joke, I don't know. And she's saying, he sees this, and he's a bit puzzled. And then the woman says, oh, I've forgotten the rest. And that was it. That was it. It was done. I have since looked up for the ending, so if you would like it, we can have coffee later on, and I'll share that with you. A couple of weeks ago, I got an email from a chap in our church, and he said, last Sunday, you shared some words of knowledge, things that we felt God had said. We do that regularly at our service. And you'd shared three of them, things that we felt God said, and he said, all three of them were for me. And they were mostly about being sick and that sort of thing. So he was having a bad week. But he said all three were for me. He was quite excited about this, and he'd gone for prayer. And so last Sunday I saw him. I said, that's great, but were you healed? He said, oh, yes, I was, which was wonderful. And as I was praying before the service, I just sensed the Lord saying a few words for people here. And we're going to pray right now for the Lord to bring healing or move in our lives. These are the words I sensed the Lord saying for some of us here in this service. I heard a word about fasciitis. I'm not quite sure what it is, but I've heard of it. But if that's you, you'll know that you have that condition. Someone else with a problem with their collarbone, That's you. Third person, you at some point in the past, your spine was broken or cracked, and you're still suffering the effects of that. The Lord wants to bring healing. Probably a number of people here suffer with migraines. I had that word, and we want to pray for you for healing. And the last word I had was a lady here, even just this week, you've been crying about your children. And just sort of, what do I do? What can happen? Almost despairing about the situation. And if that's you, the Lord wants to meet with you and show you what it is you should do, what it is the way forward. Those are a few words I had. If you would like us to be included in this prayer, if you are sick in any way, you want prayer for healing, any of those words, could I invite you just in this moment just to stand up? Just to stand up. Not because standing up is magic, just because it says, yes, please, Lord, I would like to be healed. If you've never been here before and you've come today and you'd like us to pray for healing, then would you just stand? Now, I know because I'm British that 90% of the people here have something physically wrong with them, and there are 8 people standing. So take the opportunity whilst it's here. I would encourage you, because the Lord is the Lord who heals us. And so we want to pray. So if you're near one of these people standing and they don't mind, would you mind just placing a hand on them? That would be lovely. We're going to pray. Just ask the Lord for healing or encouragement or whatever it is that you're asking from God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the God of all grace, and that by the wounds of Jesus we are healed. And so we pray this morning together for healing. We ask for your healing touch upon each of these folk. We speak to you now in Jesus' name. We say, be healed. Pain, go in Jesus' name. Pain, go. Sickness, go in the name of Jesus. Pray for bones to be knitted together. We pray for sickness to leave. We pray for neurological conditions to go in the name of Jesus. Be healed. We pray where those who need comfort, encouragement, your word, your wisdom, come, bring that, we pray. Meet with our friends now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Thank you. Do take a seat. There's prayer, opportunity for personal prayer with the prayer team at the end, and we want to grab that. Thank you. Get the next slide, please, JP. This is our congregation in Cirencester. We moved into a new building a year ago that has no pillars. Hey, that's right. Some of you may love the pillars. I've got no particular problem against pillars. Don't worry. It's not an anti-pillar rant. And we moved into, and our church over the last many years has grown, and people have come to faith, as you've seen here in COGS as well. And it's wonderful. And people at times ask me regularly, both folk who are Christians and other people who are outside the community, because they know that the narrative within our culture is that churches are shrinking and closing and people are leaving. That's the general received view. Is that true? That's what most people would understand. So when they hear about a church where that isn't happening, they're surprised. That's okay. They say, what? They say, what's the secret? What's the secret? What's the secret to what's happening there? And I'm going to tell you today what the secret is. You'll love this, Simon. This will change everything for you. It's brilliant. You'll love this. What's the secret? What's the secret? It's this. Next slide, please, JP. Be nice. That's it. Right? That's it. Be nice. In fact, be Jesus nice. That really is it. What's the secret? In fact, there's loads of things, and it's true in any church. There's a story that goes back years and generations of people who've prayed and done things and served, and that, you know, and so. But at its heart, for us, is the fact that I want a culture where we engage warmly with everybody we meet. People out on the streets, people in the places where we work, people in our schools, people who walk through the door here on a Sunday, whatever it is, that we engage warmly and confidently with the kingdom of God and the gospel of Jesus with everybody we meet. Amen? That's it. At its heart. Be nice. Be Jesus nice. The first Sunday we moved into our new building last year, at the beginning of January, and lots of people there, and it was all a novelty, and lots of new people came as well. And I remember one chap came, a couple of years older than me, and he said to his wife, I'm going to church. He said to his teenage sons, I'm going to church. They said, you're going where? Why are you going? He said, I want to go. He'd been on a journey. There's a story there. And he turned up that Sunday. He knew one or two people in our church a little bit. And he turned up. And he loved the service. And people were very nice to him at the end of the service, chatting away. He met loads of people. It was really lovely. And he went home afterwards. And his teenager said, you went to church? He said, what was it like? He said, it was great. He said, it was like black church for white people, which I thought was absolutely fantastic. And it's also black church for black people, because there's black people in our church. And yeah, but it, for him, that was how he was describing what was going on. He came back, did the Alpha course, gave his life to Jesus, and getting baptized next Sunday in a big pool. There we are. Just like chucking, there we are. Chucking a Baptist thing. So, Bible, let's read the Bible. Luke chapter 15. So if you've got a Bible, do grab it. Luke chapter 15. I've got it up here on the screen, at least a little bit of it. We'll start at verse 6. That says, oh, look. Verse 6. Where is Luke gone? Here we are. Luke 15. Doesn't say 6, does it? I don't want 6. So the parable that is described as, anyone know the name of this parable we commonly call it, those who've read it before? Parable of the prodigal son. Hands up if you know what the word prodigal actually means. Okay, so there's about 3 people in the room. Okay. We think it means lost, but it doesn't. It means, it's where we get the word prodigious from. It's the fact that he spends all his money and blows it all. And that's where it's from. But it's a silly word, so let's call it something else. Parable of the lost son. That's how this Bible calls it, so that's much better. Great, let's read this little bit. So if you're completely unfamiliar with the story, that's fine. There's a guy, a father. He has 2 sons, adult sons. One of them says, I want my money. I want to go. And he leaves and he goes. He squanders everything, messes up his life, and then decides to come back. The son's coming back. And while the son was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms round him, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And so they began to celebrate. It's a marvelous story. It's a marvelous story. The father sees his son, the son who squandered everything, who's effectively wished his father dead, because he asked for his inheritance early. And if you are, when do you normally get your inheritance? When your dad or mother dies. He wants it early, which means effectively, I'm not interested about your life, Dad. I want to go. He's gone. He's blown it all, and he's now coming back. And the father sees him a long way off. And it says that he runs. He runs. He runs to get him. So we are called to behave like the Father in this story. The Father speaks to us of God, and we are called to behave like the Father. I think with everybody that we meet. You see the first thing that the father does? He runs. He runs. He runs. He runs. He's enthusiastic. He runs. Runs towards his son and says, let's go and grab him. Let's go. And I believe that for us, at the heart of how we're meant to be in our churches, is that we are meant to be enthusiastically running to share the good news and to love and to be kind and to be nice, Jesus nice, to the people around us in every situation that we are, which makes every single day an adventure. Because wherever you go, whatever you do, there is an opportunity for you enthusiastically to be nice to the people that you meet. I play golf. Anyone here play golf? If Phoebe, play golf. Very good. And Supit was shaking their head with sadness, like, I was listening, but not anymore, because he's just said that. And was at the golf club a short while ago, and it was, when was it? It was last summer, must have been. And we'd had a long period of very, very dry weather, and everything was dry. And the golf course was struggling. The grass wasn't growing, and it was true. I'm sure the farmers were struggling. And I was there practicing. And the club professional was running past me to give a lesson. And we chat a lot about God. He knows I'm a Christian, and we talk about it regularly. He calls me his spiritual director. And he's not a Christian, but we chat about these things. And he ran past, and he said, Matt, could you pray for some rain? I said, yes, Tom, I'll pray now. He said, could you? He was running off to give a lesson to three ladies. And he said, could you also pray for me to win the lottery? I said, Tom, depends what you're going to spend it on. Anyway, then he was gone. So I was there practicing, and he was about 100 yards away on the tee for the 10th hole with three ladies. And so I paused briefly and for my practice, and I did. I prayed. I said, Lord, we need some rain. We need some rain here for the golf course. We need some, you know, we could do something. It had been very, very dry, and they were really struggling. Everything was going yellow. He was 100 yards away, and the three ladies took their shots up towards the green, and then the three of them, with Tom, the professional, walked up to the green. By the time they'd reached the green, it had started to rain. So Tom uses Twitter a lot, and so do I. So I went out and tweeted to him, as requested. But it didn't rain that much, so he sent me a message back a couple of hours later after I'd left, saying, yeah, but it's only a little bit, and we need centimetres of rain up here. And I said, you have little faith. And by that night, it rained properly. It poured down all over that part of near us in Cirencester. And finally, the following morning, he sent me back sort of a slightly sheepish message saying, thank you. And everywhere's an opportunity just to be nice. And I would encourage us to be like the Father in this story and to run enthusiastically. What does the Father also do? What should he do with his son? What do you reckon? It's a genuine question. The son who's wished you dead and has blown all your money and has brought shame on you, what should he do? Yeah, you're forgiven because you've read the story, but in that culture, in any culture, but particularly in an honor culture like you get in the Middle East, the community are expecting him to, at best, you know, yes, okay, I'll let you come back, but you're living in the shed sort of thing. Rightfully, you could go out and slap him, beat him, and send him on his way. That would be expected within that culture and in many cultures. But what he does is he runs to him. And I picture him running through the village. People have seen the son coming. Oh, it's him. He's back. But Dad runs to him. And one thing that Middle Eastern men of a certain age do not do is run. Am I right, Eddie? You're out there. Yeah, they don't run. It's shameful to run. Many of you do it, but probably shouldn't because it looks shameful. But it's shameful to run. And what the father does is he sacrifices his dignity, he sacrifices the expectations of the community, and he runs to them. He is prepared to cross a painful social barrier, probably three or four of them, to go and meet his son and to embrace him. And we need to do the same if we are to be nice, Jesus nice, to the people around us. We have to cross the barriers. If you're on a bus in this country, on a train in this country, what do you not do with the people around you? Talk to them. Yes, absolutely, because you're British. The problem is the gospel requires us talking to people. Being nice to people normally does. So we've got to break some cultural barriers. I'm a chaplain at the Royal Agricultural University, which is in Cirencester, which is the weirdest university in the world. They all wear tweed. It's bizarre. Anyway, I was up there last week. And where else do 19-year-olds wear tweed suits? It's so weird. But anyway, there we are. God loves them. And so I was up there. And I was in the restaurant. I go up there and I get some lunch and I'll sit with people and chat to them. I was there and I'd gone late and there was no one else in the restaurant. There was one other young guy walking in at the same time and he went and sat at his table and there were 10 other tables. And which table do you choose if you're British? A different one, absolutely, it's what you do. And my heart was in my mouth, but I was there to talk to people. And so I said, because he's also British, so I knew how this would work, I said, can I join you? And what do British people not say? No. So that's right, so I'm there, I'm in. I said it nicely, can I join you? Yes. And if you're not British here, by the way, you're saved all this nonsense that we have to go through in this country. Anyway, so you've got your own nonsense, different nonsense. So we sat down. I sat down with him and I said, hi. And we just started chatting and explained I was a chaplain. And he said, without asking, he said, oh, I'm religious. And we were off. And it was unexpected, brilliant conversation. He told me about how he used to believe in God and then he'd stopped and now he just started believing in God again and wasn't quite sure what to do about it. So I said, well, let me help you with that. It was brilliant. But it was because I was prepared to, with my heart in my mouth, to break a cultural taboo and to cross a barrier. And the father did it in the story. He runs and breaks. He breaks four or five, much more than I did. And he grabbed him. And then what does the father do with the son? He runs up to meet him outside the village. I'm assuming everybody's seen him go. He embraces him. He gives him stuff, really good stuff. He kisses him. He kills the cow, who's less pleased about it than the son, but the cow gets killed. They have a party. It's incredibly warm, incredibly generous. And I want to encourage myself and I want to encourage you. As you as individuals and as you as a church seek to relate and share and love, be nice to the world around you. Learn to be as warm as the father in the story. And again, we find it hard, particularly if you're British, you find it hard because we're not used to it. I remember one of those seminal moments in my Christian life. I used to pastor a church in Soho for many years in central London. Anyone been to Soho, central London? Yeah, won't ask why. And it's fine. And so I was there for many years before I went to Siren Sister. And there's less tweed in Soho. And one night I was invited to go down to a Christian rehab in southeast London in Lewisham. And they had a Friday night meeting. I was asked to go and speak there. And the guy who runs it, who was this short 55-year-old plumber who was a bit of a nutter but had got saved and had given these two houses over to use as a rehab. And he took us, he was just showing me around. It was dark, it was October, it was a Friday night in Lewisham. And we were walking across the road from one house to another. And there was me, sort of nice middle-class Matt, and Stuart, the little plumber from southeast London. And we're walking across the road. And there's four large, young men, black guys, walking down the street towards us. And the normal response in that situation is to walk on quickly. You know, pass by. It's Friday night. It's Lewisham. What's happening? Stuart stops in front of them. They're walking down the street. He says, hi guys, how are you doing? Great to see you, God bless you. It was so warm, so unexpected. And they were taken aback. He was, again, crossing these cultural barriers. And they were surprised. And he said, God bless you. And they stopped and suddenly they got it. This guy's being nice to us. And they responded, oh, respect. And the whole encounter lasted about 60 seconds. But it stuck with me. Well, it stuck with me now. And that was, I don't know, 15 years ago. And I said, I want to be like Stuart. I want to have the courage in whatever situation to warmly engage with whoever I meet, regardless of the cultural or social barriers in between. Be nice. Be Jesus. Nice. This is how I sum it up. Being confident, warm, enthusiastic, bold, and Jesus-filled in talking to people outside the church. You could do that with people inside as well. You can be nice to them too. That's allowed. That's fine. In fact, we get to practice here, which is wonderful. But that's it, being confident, warm, enthusiastic, bold, and Jesus-filled in talking to people outside the church. In every situation, it makes every day an adventure. Let me finish with this, and then we'll pray. We run a parent and toddler group at our church. Do you run a parent and toddler group here? Yes, lots of churches run parent and toddler groups. Lots of parent and toddler groups are really, really good at being nice to people, but not talking about Jesus. You know what I mean? You know that? It's very good. Steph, who's the woman in the photo with the guitar, that was a few months ago in our new building, and she's very, very good at talking about Jesus, and the whole team do as well. So we have 150 kids every Friday at our toddler group. And they've just learned, the team, to be warm, to be nice, but confident about being Jesus people there and sharing Jesus. And it is an absolute delight. And we've watched, particularly over the last two or three years, a number of those parents come to faith in Jesus. They've run a little alpha course on the side of the toddler group. There's a lady called Inga, a German lady. She's married to a British soldier who's based near us. And she was coming every week to this with her two little boys, loving it, and just people being nice to her, being warm, but also saying, can we pray for you? And invite her to church. And she came along a bit, and then they talked about the Alpha course, and she went and did it and gave her life to Jesus. And she's part of our church, and bringing her husband along sometimes now. But it's because the people running this group were nice, were Jesus nice. And that's my encouragement to you. And as you as a church continue to go on a journey, as you continue to wrestle with the challenges of a building that's not big enough and got pillars in it, and my encouragement is make the problem worse. Make the problem worse by being nice, Jesus nice to people, like the Father in our story. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we are gripped. We are gripped by the fact that you have run to us. When we didn't deserve it, you've run to us. You've embraced us and said, come home. And we want to behave like that to the people around us. The people where we work, the people who we live with, the people in our own families, the people down our streets. And Lord, at times we're not very good because we're frightened, because we're grumpy, because we're too caught up with our own things. And I simply pray that you would help us by your Holy Spirit to be nice, to be Jesus nice, to be confidently warm and full of the Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Fill us with your grace. Fill us with your mercy. Fill us with your life. That the problem in this building will get worse, because more people are finding you. Lord, that's our prayer in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen.